My guest, Ron Wolf, Wolf and Associates, managing about 2,000 rental units in the Tri-Counties areas and the area. And the discussion is 2026 new laws. We just hit three of them. There's or two of them. There's three more we want to mention. But first, kind of a general effort overall about what's happening. Los Angeles County dealing with wildfires and immigration and eviction. I don't know if these are laws yet, or what do we expect for 2026 that might come up in new legislation? I know one is something about restriction on foreign investment in rental housing. What's that about?
Yeah, there are two things that happened, Mark. Some of them, the 2025 proposals that didn't get passed may come back for reconsideration. They might be redrafted or reframed, and come back and be introduced as possible new laws. What we're seeing and projecting is that the legislature will definitely be looking at restrictions on foreign investment and rental housing. Pretty common thing to be looking at relocation expenses tied to renovations. This seems to be a very hot topic, and may get codified in state law as opposed to local ordinances. There's active discussion on limits and on late fees, prohibitions on criminal background checks and screening, which has been discussed for several years and creates some interesting challenges for property owners who can easily be named in a lawsuit if they permit a new resident that has a history of violating the law or hurting people, but the government tends to want to prohibit any kind of background checks. We're going to see or expect to see more caps on various fees like trash, storage, pet, parking, those types of fees. More code enforcement targeting housing providers seems to be a very popular issue. If we look at what's happened in Isla Vista and the allegations that they're all types of code violations with their inspection program, they're not really finding that, but that'll be something certainly that is going to be discussed. And there's a constant press, it seems like every year, for new fees, for local taxes and fees. So it will be an active 2027 legislative year.
Okay, so all this will be discussed 2026. It won't come into effect in 2026, but you're projecting 2027. I've got a couple of questions, and then we could follow up with, because you mentioned new local taxes and fees, and there was something going on in Isla Vista you spoke about last time you were on. But this prohibition on criminal background checks and screening, and you mentioned landlords can be open to lawsuits. I assume that means if you have, 4, 8, 12, 20 units, and you let a person in who has a criminal background, and then something happens, the tenants can end up suing the landlord, but they're saying that the landlord cannot do criminal background checks and decline to rent to a tenant?
Yeah, it becomes a bit of a conundrum. It's, the famous thing in litigation is the landlord knew or should have known. And in this case, you're precluded from knowing, but you're not precluded from being sued if somebody gets hurt by a resident that had a criminal background. So it's a circular issue. It's a bit of a challenge for property managers and owners. But there's more and more of a push to not permit background screening, and even to some degree some credit history. So it's a push to make it easier for people to qualify for units, but it definitely makes it harder for property owners to do their business and try to protect their cash flow and investment.
Property manager Ron Wolf is my guest. We're talking about new laws for 2025 and now potential new laws to be discussed in 2026 to come into effect in 2027. As you were talking about the fees, excuse me, God, it made me think of something we've talked about in the past, and I had it in my head, and now it's gone. It was something to do with checks and background checks, where I'm remembering that a landlord could maybe charge a little more, but accept a tenant that didn't have great credit or didn't have. Or had some issues in the past, but they might go, well, we're going to give you a shot, but in order to give you a shot, I want. Oh, was it related to the security deposits, where a landlord could have asked for 2 months security deposit for someone whose credit was really bad, but the landlord wanted to give him a break and let him in, but to compensate, to protect the landlord, they would ask for 2 months security deposit. Now they can't do that. Was that a conversation we had?
Yes, and you're spot on. They've changed the maximums that can be charged for a security deposit, and it does make it more difficult for approving residents, because a management company's got a fiduciary obligation to the owner, and if somebody's got bad credit and you rent to them and then they don't pay rent and you got to go through the process of moving them out, it's time consuming, it's expensive. And the property owner has the very logical right to go back to the property manager and say, hey, you let these people in without properly checking their credit or having some type of way to mitigate this issue. So
Right.
the bottom line is it's hurting the residents or prospective residents because if you don't have good credit and a good background, the probability of a management company or owner accepting you as a resident becomes much more challenging.
And on its face, and you could tell me if you think this is not a, there's something wrong with my perspective, but on its face, I think, well, maybe first month's rent and 1 month's security deposit. If someone is a has decent credit, a decent person, that seems like it should be enough. So part of me doesn't really object to the fact that they said, "Oh, you can't have 2 months credit check." On its face, is there a something wrong with my opinion there?
No, I think on its face it's very valid. The vast majority of them typically will be 1 month. Where it's hurt prospects is people say who have had credit issues or issues, histories of problems. They're working it out. It's clear that they're making progress. You've taken away the ability to be comfortable to take a chance with them, and that's the downside of it.
Yeah,
So.
and on the other hand too, someone goes to jail, they paid, they did the time, and they are coming out, they're rehabilitated. You don't want to see them discriminated against. But on the other hand, if you got a guy who's been in prison 5 times and he spent his whole life in prison, is this new law says you got to rent to anybody? If Jeffrey Dahmer got out, or there's no exceptions?
It's a sticky area. There are lots of criteria and parts that go into that, but bottom line, yeah, it makes it much more difficult to deny approval to an apartment, even or to a rental,
Okay.
with the kind of laws that are coming down.
Okay. My guest, Ron Wolf, property manager, Tri-Counties area, over 2,000 units. Mayor Randy Rouse was on. He discussed the Santa Barbara City Council discussing rent control. And what do you see happening if the city, do you think they'll pass it? And what could the impact be?
Well, it's hard to know whether it will actually be passed or not. It will definitely be on the discussion list. I understand it's going to be, I think it's March or April of this year that they will have it for final reports on the agenda. There's clear pressure to have rent control in Santa Barbara. There's also clear history that it's never been effective in any part of the state or county or country, really. So we'll see where it goes.
Okay. It's yeah, I mean it's a jump ball. It could go either way, but right, that's Mayor Rouse's position was that he cited areas where it was put in place and cited a lot of negative results rather than positive results, but we shall see. You were on last year for a mid-year as opposed to your annual January visit to discuss the new laws for the year. The Isla Vista inspection program that came about, and that is in place, and that is what again? What happened there, and is it in place and going forward?
Yes, it is in place. There was about $600,000 that was allocated to do inspections of all the units in Isla Vista, with an allegation that basically Isla Vista was filled with slum housing and property owners that weren't taking care of their housing. Interestingly, to date, and I don't know the percentage of units that have been inspected, but I know there have been quite a number of them. They're not finding what the allegations were. The exceptions have been very rare. Many of the issues that they're finding seem to be caused by residents more than by owners, specifically like removing smoke alarms and mold or mildew in bathrooms, that type of thing. But in terms of what you would really call habitability issues, the findings have been very, very low. And interestingly, the county has a program where people can call in and say, "Hey, the owner's not taking care of this property." The number of people who called in 2024, I think, were nine. So spending $600,000 to try to inspect the number of units they have in Isla Vista just seems like a waste of money, and that there are better ways to handle that whole program.
Right. Like you say, if there's a mechanism for a tenant to call and say, hey, I notified my landlord about A, B, and C. They didn't respond. Can you help me get the landlord to respond? You're saying in 2024, nine people called in, and now they're spending $600,000 to randomly inspect properties. Bizarre. Before we have you talk about three more new laws quickly, this just a quick question, the services of legal notices. When you have a rent increase or you have a change to lease, it has to be a personal service. You have to hire someone to literally knock on the tenant's door and hand it to them, proof of service. You can't just email them, mail them, and tape it to the front door.
Yeah, no, two different things. For a what they call a detainer action, or if there's an action to evict a resident due to non-payment of rent or to violation of the rental terms, they've changed the laws for service, which really involve more the attorney and the service provider. Now they mandate that you try at least three times. You have different times of the day. And when they're served, you have a GPS documentation as to where it was served, just tightening up that whole thing. And part of the message of that and the suggestion from the California Apartment Association is to be very, very careful to precisely follow the laws relative to any of the notices that get serviced. And that's fair and reasonable.
Okay. I actually had a follow-up question, but we only have a minute left, and I know you wanted to go through three other new laws, improve procedures for returning security deposits. We got 1 minute, Ron.
Okay, that's kind of a fun one, and we'll do quickly. The law now requires that the property owner notify residents of the right within a reasonable time after they plan to terminate a tenancy to provide a electronic return of security deposits. So if the lessee wants it, it's available to them, and really makes it better for everybody. There's also a little twist in that when you return a security deposit and you have multiple tenants, now the law says that can be a single check to all of the tenants, so it doesn't have to be separate checks. And then final side of that is when a tenancy is ended, There is a law that there be an inspection with pictures and the detail of any charges be clearly set forth, and that accounting can be sent to any single lessee. It does not have to be sent to everybody.
Okay, and everyone's happy with that one. And then we just have time, I think, for one more, Social Security related payment delays.
Okay, this one seems a little more political, but if the government shuts down on Social Security benefits aren't being paid and Social Security benefits are being used for payment of rent, there's a automatic presumption that will delay any eviction if it's due to non-payment because Social Security funds were not available. I think that's, again, a pretty rare type of situation. Usually government shutdowns, which we hate to see, don't extend to a term that would negatively impact this, but
Okay. Okay.
it's there and available. So if it happens, people need to be aware of it.
Okay. Let's hope it never happens. My guest today has been Ron Wolf. Ron Wolf and Associates, managing over 2,000 units in the Tri-Counties area. Thanks a million, Ron. You always do a great job.
Always a pleasure. Look
Okay.
forward
You're
to meeting you
listening.
next year.
Thank you, sir. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. Stay tuned for the weekly multiple listing sales update.